Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
All right.
Amen. I apologize. At this time, if any of the young children, I think they're already going back, amen, for Children's Church, if any of the young kids want to go back, that are going to act right, amen, because if you're not acting right, she's going to send you back, amen. So we do have Children's Church going this morning, amen. Thank you.
If you have it, say amen. If you don't, say, Lord, help me. Chapter 13, verse 1. And it reads, if I could speak all the languages of the earth and of the angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Now drop down with me to the 13th verse. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to come together one more time. Yes, Lord. Lord, if I'm too high, bring me down. If I'm too low, build me up. Oh, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. 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 This morning, I'd like to speak from the text, How to Love. All right. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I've had enough of no love. I'm not Keisha Cole, but I've had enough of no love. How many of us really know what love is? Songwriters and poets have written of it since the beginning of time. Yet how many of us really know what it is? For example, Al Green said that love was something that would make you do right and make you do wrong. Make you come home early, make you stay out all night long. Houdini said, it's better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all. Music Love Child said, love, so many people use your name in vain. Keith Sweat said, there was a right and a wrong way to love somebody. Annie Lennox and Al Green sang, put a little love in your heart and the world would be a better place. The Beatles said, money couldn't buy me love. Earth, Wind, and Fire said, after love is gone, what's the use in hanging on? Bobby Blue Bland said, so you take it where you find it or you can leave it how it is. That's the way love is. Keisha Cole said, I've had enough of no love. I used to hear grandmama saying in the kitchen, what is this that makes me love my enemies and makes me love my friends? Teddy Pendergrass said that he thought he better let it go because it looked like another love TKO. Johnny Taylor said, we were getting careless with our love. Johnny Taylor also said, love makes the world go round, but money greases the wheel. Carrie Hilson said, sometimes love comes around and it knocks you down. Elvis Presley said, I'm in love and I'm all shook up. Neo just recently talked about lazy love. Confunction said, sometimes love strains can be broken, but you just got to keep on going. Chris Brown recently talked about sweet love. But lastly, Lil Wayne tried to tell us about how to love. All of these songwriters tried to tell us about love and how to love, but they didn't fully tell us how to love. The greatest love on earth is that of a mother to their child. Mothers tell us and show us how to love, but in these days we have mothers killing babies and leaving babies alone. My mother taught me about love. And my dad showed me tough love. My grandmother, she still spoils me with love. But I stopped by to tell you that one day I was reading my Bible, and I stumbled across Corinthians and Paul. And Apostle Paul penned his letter to the Corinthian church that was in disarray and on the verge of imploding upon itself. The church was rife with public immorality, doctrinal confusion, divisions, party politics, petty bickering, believers suing other believers in secular courts, cynicism, divorce, abuses of spiritual gifts and sacraments. And the root cause of all this was because they had no love. Following this diagnosis, the Apostle Paul then proceeds to prescribe the cure for the Corinthians' troubles, manifest and exercise sacrificial love to each other in your common life. The remedy is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the familiar, much beloved, and popularly named love chapter. Yet I submit to you that our familiarity with 1 Corinthians has resulted in incorporating its truths into our hearts and manifesting its principles in our lives. No matter how spiritual other Christians perceive to be or how much I accomplish for the kingdom, it is not motivated or accompanied by without love. First and foremost, I guess Paul was kind of like Keisha. He had had enough of the Corinthians having no love. First of all, if you're keeping notes, I like to talk about the absence of love in verses 1 through 3. Paul states, "If I could speak the languages of earth and of angels, but I didn't love others, I would only be a clanging cymbal." See, I could get up here and speak to you so eloquently, but if I didn't love you, I'd just be like hitting one of those cymbals on the drum set. I'd just be a loud noise if I didn't have love. Then Paul says, if I had the gift of prophecy and I could understand everything that God was saying, but I possessed all the knowledge, and if I had such faith that could move mountains, but I didn't have love, I'd be nothing. If I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would be nothing. See, church, if you don't love one another, you're nothing. You're nothing at all. Secondly, Paul talks about the nature of love in verses 4 through 7. He says, love is patient and kind. He says, love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wrong. See, sometimes people are wrong in this life, but Paul tells us, don't keep an account of who wronged you. Love them anyway. See, Shannon's my big brother, and he didn't got on to me before, and I didn't got mad at him, but I still love him in spite of him getting on to me like he would probably do Daryl too. He might have said something that made me mad, but he's still my brother, and I still love him. Then he says, in the sixth verse, he said, it does not rejoice when injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. See, I stopped by to tell you today, OC, you got some haters because you're doing good. You got some other churches that don't want to see you prosper. But I tell you what, the truth will win out. Yeah. They can talk about you all you want, but truth will win out in the end. Yeah. Yeah. Then he says, love never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful and adheres through every circumstance. Uh-huh. See, some relationship right now may be going through some. The man might have did something wrong, or the woman might have did something wrong, but don't give up just because of one instance. He might have cheated on you this time, but forgive him and go back and love him even harder. Don't give up. It endures through every circumstance. They might be in prison. They might be behind jail, but still love them in spite of. He said, love is not jealous. People in the Corinthian church were jealous of other gifts. See, I don't have any business being jealous of the usher back there because she's one of the best around. He said, we all have different gifts. Yeah. Just because Tony can play that organ don't mean I need to get over there and try to do it. That's his gift. And that don't mean that Tony needs to get up here and try to preach my sermon because that's not his gift. That ain't what he intended it for. He said, love is not boastful. Corinthians were boasting about their gifts. To boast is to make everyone notice you But love is to think about other people. Don't boast about what you're doing. Just let them see it and let them see the love. See, I saw love this morning when them deacons came back there and they talked about how they love their pastor. And I could see it in their eyes how they love their pastor. That's on one accord when they go back there and they pray together. Yeah. There's some churches where deacons don't love their pastors like that. They don't even come and talk to the pastor in the morning. They just come out here and start devotion when they get ready. He said, love is not rude. Some Christians at Corinth weren't respecting other people. They were greedy. They were not thinking about others at the Lord's Supper. They were without shame. They were not without shame. To love means to look out for others. If you see one of your fellow members hungry or they need $50, help them out. Show them some love. If they need a ride to church and you coming right by the house, stop and pick them up. Don't look at them like they're crazy. Bring them on anyway. Amen. Then he said, love is not proud. See, I've been proud before. But when you up this high, God can bring you down. Amen. He can bring you down. Amen. Yeah, he can bring you down. He said, a person who thinks too much of his own importance does not know love. A Christian who shows love is humble. See, I've been humbled. I've had to come back to where I started from. Then he says, love is not easily angered. Paul began his description of love with the word patient. One kind of patience is to be able to keep calm when other people are angry. See, when them people are all in your face when you start the school tomorrow, when them other little kids are talking about you, saying that you ain't got the nicest shoes on, your mama didn't comb your hair good, smile at them anyway, show them some love, and just keep on going. Yeah. Me and Darren and LaTwanya, we work at a place where it ain't no love. Yeah. They pay us good, but it ain't no love. But you have to smile and take it anyway. Then he says, love keeps no account of wrongs. God does not keep a record of our sin. If he did, I'd been gone a long time ago. So the person who loves does not keep remembering an action or an insult against you. Some people say, I will forgive, but I will never forget. This statement means you have never really forgiven that person. Yeah. Them girls used to tell me back when I was out there real bad, they used to tell me, I forgive you, but I'll never forget what you did to me. See, that was not love. They didn't love me. They were just telling me that. They tell me that, Brother Ellis. They just tell me anything. Then lastly, he says, love does not rejoice in evil. A person that loves is happy with the truth. It is sad that people like to hear about the failures of other people. Yeah. When my church, they used to split up every year. Had a new pastor for about every year for 5 years. Now you can hear about, boy, what is they doing down there in New Hope? They fighting the preachers. They cutting the preachers. But now since we've been on one accord, you don't want to hear nobody say nothing. They don't say New Hope is on one accord. They don't say OC is growing leaps and bounds. All they want to say is they used to be the bad church. That's what they love to say. Y'all know they say it. Y'all know I'm not lying. See, I don't watch the news because all you see is bad news. You'll never see nothing on the news to say 7,000 people got saved at Orange Chapel today. But if 7,000 people got killed at Orange Chapel, it'd make major headlines. It said, what does love do? It said, love suffers long. Love is kind. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Thirdly, he says, Paul says, love is permanent. It said prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless. But love will last forever. Yeah, you can get up here and you can shout and speak in tongues. But he said if you don't have one of these days, it's going to become useless because you ain't going to have love. See, I used to love basketball, but I got old and I couldn't do it no more. So because that came useless to me because I can't do it no more because I'm old. Yeah, I'm 33, but I'm old in basketball years. It said, now our knowledge is partial, incomplete. And even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the big picture. Look at your neighbor and say, get the big picture. But when full understanding comes, these partial things will become useless. Yeah, he says when full understanding comes. He's talking about when Jesus comes back. He said it'll be clear. You know how them women, they get in the mirror and they have to do the mirror like this and clean it off? See, it don't look good to them because they had to clean it off. But I tell you, I stopped by to tell you today, Orange Chapel, when Jesus come back, you can look in the mirror and it'll be clear to you. Then in the 11th chapter, he says, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, look at your neighbor, tell her, grow up. I put away childish things. Yeah. I got a short story for you. Me and Pastor Shannon, we played in a tournament a few years ago and down in Honey Grove. And there was a bunch of young boys in that tournament. And, man, they ran us to death. Then later that evening, Pastor Shannon called me, and he threw that scripture at me. And I sat there, and I thought about it, and I said, you're right, Pastor. We was dumb because we thought we were still a child. We thought we could still run with them. We was reasoning as a child. But we had to think about it. When we grew older, we had to put away basketball. That's a childish thing for us now. Yeah. Brother Khalil told me the other day that he would turn my knees inside out if I tried to play him. I didn't argue with him because I knew it was the truth. Then he says, on verse 12, he says, now we see things imperfectly. As in a cloudy mirror. Uh-huh. Look at yourself in the mirror, women. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. Uh-huh. All that I know now is partial, incomplete. Mm. But then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. Yeah. That's what we're striving for, church. We're striving for when he comes back and we can see everything perfectly, completely. Uh-huh. But if you don't love everybody, you will not see that. Then he says on verse 13, he says, three things will last forever. Right. Faith, hope, and love. Yes. But the greatest is love. Yes. Before I go to my close, I'm going to leave you with this. Pastor George Crane tells of a wife who came into his office one day full of hatred toward her husband. I do not only want to get rid of him, I want to get even. Before I divorce him, I want to hurt him as much as he has hurt me. The woman fumed. Crane suggested an ingenious plan. Go home and act as if you really loved your husband. Tell him how much he means to you. Praise him for every decent trait. Go out of your way to be as kind, considerate, and generous as possible. Spare no efforts to please him, to enjoy him. Make him believe you love him. After you've convinced him of your undying love and that you cannot live without him, then drop the bomb. Tell him that you're getting a divorce. That will really hurt him. With revenge in her eyes, she smiled and exclaimed, beautiful, beautiful. Will he ever be surprised? And she did it with enthusiasm, acting as if. For 2 months, she showed love, kindness, listening, giving, reinforcing, forgiveness, patience, sharing. When she didn't return, Crane called. Are you ready now to go through the divorce? Divorce, she said. Never. I discovered I really do love him. With that said, Orange Chapel, God bless you and I love you.
Amen. Let's get another man. I got another hand clap. Amen. Awesome job this morning. Amen. How to love. Amen. I'm going to have to practice some of that stuff too. Amen. It's awesome when you know how to love. Amen. Amen. Awesome word. Amen, Reverend. Amen, Reverend Savage. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Did that hit the spot, hit home for somebody? All right. All right. We're just